say once again that I'm thankful to be here today. I try when we come to service as much as I can, I try to get around and greet everybody and shake hands with you, but I'm sure sometimes I miss people, so if I missed anybody today, I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm glad that we can assemble today. This is really important. We're doing something today that the Bible, the Lord deemed so important that He inspired it to be put in His Word, that we are not to forsake this. And I'm glad that we have the privilege that we have today to worship the Lord. You know, we're not just here socially. I love to socialize with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we're here to worship and to try to exalt the name of Jesus. I have one verse of Scripture that I would like to read today for a Scripture reading, and it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. I have other verses of Scripture that I want to share with you in this message today, but to begin, I have one verse that I want to read, and I do ask for your prayers. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Solomon wrote and said, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." I want you to pray for me today. This, the message that the Lord has placed on my heart, is going to be hard. I believe it's going to challenge me to bring this message. Of course, the Lord never promised us that things would be easy. And the reason I feel this way is because that our church, we have been so, it seems that we have been so made so sorrowful of late by people passing. I know there are families here today that are sorrowful. Death brings about that type of pain. But I want to speak today about the blessing of death. We certainly, have things. I think that it's easy for us to conceive in our minds. But the Bible has a lot to say about this thing that we know as death. From cover to cover in the Scriptures, in the Bible, you're going to read about it. And Solomon spoke a lot about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said that there is a time to every season and to every purpose under the heaven. And he said there is a time to be born, and there also is a time to die. And all of us that are living, we know that. Because that's one of the other things that Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, that we have knowledge of that. He said, "The living know that they shall die." And so we know the reality of that statement there that we find recorded in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Time to be born and a time to die. And it's been that way here on earth ever since Adam's transgression. People that have been born into the world, just as surely as they were born, that they had a time of birth. We have a time also to die. And in this verse here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon declares that the day that that happens, that the day of one's birth is better, that the day of one's death is better than the day of their birth. That seems, like kind of an odd statement. And when you really stop and think about it, when we witness what happens when someone is born, as Jesus spoke about joy when a child is born into the world, and that's what we generally see when that happens. I know that when my children were born and when my grandchildren were born, that it was a very joyous time for me. It brought great happiness to me and rejoicing. And I know that in times that I have lost loved ones here in this world, when they died and left the world, it has brought great sadness to me, caused tears and sorrow. But yet, Solomon, who was a very wise man, and not only was he wise, but he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he made the statement that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Now, you know, certainly Solomon could not have been just talking generally in this. I believe there had to be some specifics to what he said, because we know that when a person dies and leaves the world, if they were not saved, if they were not spiritually prepared, then we know that their dying was not better than their being born. They're going off to worse things than what they even have experienced in this temporary world. I believe that certainly he was talking about those who are properly prepared. And I really believe that's what he was saying in the first part of that verse. You know, Solomon said a good name, good reputation, a name of good reputation. He said a good name is better than precious ointment. A reputable name is better than something that is costly. I believe that the ointment here really symbolized riches. And Solomon was saying that a good name is better than riches, better than this precious ointment. He didn't say that a bad name was better, but he said a good name is better than that. And I believe in that he's talking about some preparation. Certainly there are preparations that need to be made before we die. People understand that, it seems. But I'm afraid that oftentimes they don't understand the making of the most important preparation. You see, people, because they possess the knowledge that they're going to die, they make preparation. They make preparation for who will inherit what they have when they have left the world. They make preparation by being insured, you know, making sure a husband may want to have life insurance. so that his wife and his children could have something to take care of them after that he's gone. And so, you know, there are preparations that are being made by the world in general because we are aware of the fact that we are a dying people. But making preparations for your soul is what's really important. And a lot of times people neglect that. They neglect the most important thing. If we were to ask people today, randomly, if we were to ask the masses today, are you prepared to die? Or how have you prepared to die? What preparations have you made for the hour of death? That's probably what a lot of people would answer. They would talk about, well, you know, I've got things in order where my family is going to be okay when I die. Or I've got things set in order where when I die, they're going to know how to distribute my goods that I have left behind. That's probably what most people would think about. I want to talk to you today about something far more important than those things. And that's being spiritually ready for the hour of death. Because it's coming. It is coming to all of us. It is something that is appointed unto us. So how is it? I want you to think with me, and I hope today that we can find, not only if you're here today and you're lost, my prayer today is not only that you can find a great warning in this and something to cause you to want to seek the Lord and be saved, but that those of us that are saved and those perhaps that are bereaved today will try to find comfort in the Word of God. I believe it's there. I believe God's Word is able to comfort us, oftentimes in ways that other things will not. Better. How is it? How is it that the day of death would be better than it would be for someone the day that they're born? Well, I believe that we can start with the account we have in Luke 16, because there Jesus gave us an account of two men that died. That's what the Bible says, they died. One of them was very rich, a rich man that fared sumptuously every day. And the Bible says that the rich man died and was buried and lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And so surely that couldn't have been what Solomon was talking about. That man was not better off at death than he was at birth, because when he died and left the world, the Bible tells us plainly that he went off into hell and found himself among the eternal torments of that place. But let's look at the other man, Lazarus. Now, Lazarus had suffered according to the flesh, and we all do, don't we? To some extent, we may never find ourselves in the condition that Lazarus was, or who knows, before this life is over, perhaps we will. But Lazarus suffered greatly in the flesh. His life was completely opposite of the rich man. The rich man had it all according to the goods of this world, and Lazarus had none. He was a beggar. He was full of sores. He laid there at the gate and he begged for his food. He begged for the crumbs daily that fell from the rich man's table. The Bible says that there were dogs that were coming around and they were licking his sores. But the Bible tells us that Lazarus died, the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. There he was in the presence of God. He was in heaven. And so when we look at him, we can say, surely he benefited by that. Surely there was great blessing for him in that. Sure, he was better off at the time of death and the results that death brought. He was better off than he was when he was born, and he was better off than he was when he was living. And so the Bible does pronounce a blessedness. I told you today that I was going to speak to you about the blessing of death. Let me tell you something. To me, it's very important, and I believe that it ought to be very important to anybody, because as we go through this life, we are journeying with the full knowledge that we are heading towards, as far as the flesh is concerned, as far as our earthly life, we journey through this life knowing that we are headed for the moment when it'll be time to stop breathing. It'll be time for the heart to stop beating, and it'll be time to expire. It'll be time to die here in this life. We have that knowledge. And so to me, it ought to be extremely important to everybody that you can pass through time, that you can go along your journey with the great hope of death bringing something advantageous unto you rather than something horrid. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32, it said, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. I spoke Wednesday evening about hope and peace. Spoke about the true meaning of hope. Hope, according to the scriptures, is not wishful thinking. In our everyday language, we often use it that way. We may say, I hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope it's not too hot. You know, we use the word hope oftentimes in the way of wishful thinking. But hope, according to the scriptures, is delightful expectation. That's what it means, expectation or anticipation. And so what Solomon was saying there in the 14th Proverb, he was saying that the righteous hath great expectation and great anticipation in his death. While the wicked is driven away in wickedness, the righteous hath hope in his death. In the 116th Psalm, verse 15, the psalmist spoke to us in that verse of how that God looks at it. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Those of us who are saved, when God saves us, he redeems us, which means that he buys us, he purchases us to himself. And we become his, and we become his children. He becomes our heavenly Father. God is in heaven. And, we that are still living, we're here on the earth. But we are his children. Everybody that has experienced the new birth is a child of God, and we belong to him, and we are as the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the church at Corinth, we have been bought with a price, and we are owned by him. We are his children. My wife, we've been married, if the Lord gives us until the fall of this year, we'll have had 35 years of marriage together. Marital relationship. and we've been blessed, and we've known love, and God has given us a wonderful relationship, but she has a much better relationship with God than what she has with me. Siblings. You know, I grew up in a family of six children, and among my brothers and sisters, we had love for one another. But, you know, when I came to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, I had a greater relationship with Him than I ever had with any of my siblings. Was blessed enough to have parents that loved me. But when I became a child of God, I had a relationship that exceeded the one that I had ever with my parents. You know, there's nothing, there's no relationship that compares to being a child of God. And I know that I am His child and He is my Father and He has bought me and He owns me and He governs my life. He rules in my life. You know, I am persuaded. I'm totally persuaded of this. I believe that I am going to live however long God chooses to let me live. I believe, Brother Wheat mentioned it this morning, I believe what Job said. I believe that God's going to call and we're going to answer. I believe that's what happens when people leave the world. God calls. And so, you know, we belong to the Lord and there has been a blessedness. We need to understand that and remember that. And I believe that in that perhaps it can help us and give us some hope, because the Lord does pronounce a blessedness upon those who die at having made the proper preparations. We're talking about a statement that Solomon made when he said, "The day of death is better than the day of birth." Let me ask you a question. If you're here today, do you know in your own heart, individually, do you know that things are going to be better for you when you die? Do you know that? Do you know that there's something that's waiting for you beyond this life? Just on the other side of that door of death, that there's something waiting for you that's going to be far better than what you've ever known here. If we know that, it can inspire us to hope, to expect, to anticipate. And in fact, according to what we read in the Scriptures, to even look forward to. To look forward to. Jesus did not want us to be troubled, did He? He didn't want us to be troubled. In John chapter 14, the first three verses, the Lord speaking to His disciples, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Lord has gone to prepare a place for His people. And I promise you that it will far exceed anything that you've ever seen or known here. I can't describe it to you. You know, heaven is something that we're just really not going to know until we witness it, until we see it. But He has a place for His people. I'm sure that you've heard it said many times. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. When I think about the relationship that I've had with people in this world, when I think about the relationship that I've had with my spouse through the years, you know, when I married her, I wanted to take care of her. I didn't mind at all going to work and laboring, you know, that I might be able to provide for her and to try to take care of her. I loved her and wanted to do that. And treasure the relationship that we had. But you know, the things in this life that I have been able, by my meager provisions and my meager means, the things that I have been able to give to her, I could never possibly give to her the things that God has in store for her. When my children were born, I felt the same way. I loved them and I wanted to provide for them, and I could joyfully go to work and labor and try to make the money that I needed in order to buy them their clothes and buy them their food. It didn't seem to be a burden at all to me, because I wanted to do that for them. But I realized that you know, when our children get saved, I realized that all the things in the world that I could provide for them, the comforts of a peaceful, you know, earthly home, and to make it, you know, as comfortable for them and as good for them as I possibly could, I realized that, you know, those of my children that have been saved, I realized that God has something for them that I could never give them. I could never provide for them the way that God I've heard it said for the children of God that when we leave the world, that we got promoted. We got promoted. Listen to what we're told in Revelation 14, verse 13. John the Revelator said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul, he believed what Solomon said. He believed that the day of his death was going to be better than the day of his birth. Not only did Paul believe it, but in his writings at different times, he expressed a yearning and a desire that he had to go ahead and to go. Now, honestly, you know, those of you that are here today, if you've been saved any length of time at all, and you just think about it in your own heart, haven't you felt that? I know I have. Haven't you felt that in your soul before, that yearning to go and to be with the Lord? I believe it's exactly what Paul said it was in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. It's not a desire to be unclothed. You know, sometimes you make statements like that and people say, "Well, what are you telling me, that you have a death wish?" No, Paul said it's not a desire to be unclothed, but it's a desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. You know, my little grandbabies that have been born into this world, you know what I want for them more than anything else in life? I want them to be saved. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to know that they have a home in heaven when life is over, because nothing will replace that. Nothing is as important as that. The Apostle Paul expressed it in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. This is what he said. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." What? To die is gain. Oh, sometimes, you know, we think about death and we, you know, we can only see what is happening here. We can only know the sorrow that is in our own heart. And oftentimes, you know, we comfort each other because for us it is loss. You know, I'm so sorry when somebody has passed away. I'm sorry about your loss. Because for those of us that are left, that's what it is. We have suffered loss. But listen, for that person that died in the Lord, whether it may be a husband, a wife, you know, a father, a mother, a child, for that person that died in the Lord, I'm telling you, at the moment that they walked through that door of death, they made great gain. Gain. I'll tell you what, those that have left our ranks that were ready to go, they are doing better than we are. They are surely doing better than what we are. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Paul, I believe what he was saying in the words that you and I might use today is Paul might be saying, I've got a great predicament in my heart. I'm just, you know, I'm just stuck in the middle there because I have got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is what? What did Solomon say? The day of death is better than the day of birth. What did Paul say? I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. And what seemed to be keeping him hanging on was realizing that he needed to labor in the gospel. He needed to reach other people. He said, nevertheless, it's more profitable for you that I abide in the flesh. He realized that his living in the flesh, that he had a duty to God. He had the gospel message to preach, and that was profitable for people while he was here. But Paul was saying, as for me, as the way I feel in my heart, my desire is to part and to be with Christ because, listen, for those who are saved, things are better on the other side. They're better on the other side than what they are here. This is what the Bible tells me that we'll hear. If you've got friends and loved ones in heaven, my encouragement to you today is to just hang on. Hang on. Because we're going to be back together. We're going to be reunited. This is what the Bible tells me that we will get to hear in the day when the Lord comes. You see, Matthew chapter 25 tells us he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to gather all nations before him. And he's going to divide the masses. He's going to divide the people. He's going to divide the saved and the lost. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, however that you term it. He's going to separate the saved and the lost. And to those who are saved, we will hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, I know that in our weak finite minds, that's hard to grasp. That's what the Bible tells me is going to happen. We'll be gathered together and we will hear, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit." inherit this beautiful land that I have prepared for you, the kingdom that I prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to those on the left, to those who are not ready, he'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm glad. I want to give God thanks personally for something today. I want to thank the Lord today that as I go through this life, as I press toward the hour of my death, I want to give God thanks for what he has done for me. And I give him thanks today that I don't have to fear that, and I don't have to fret that, and I don't have to worry about that, that I can press on in hope and expectation and anticipation of what he has waiting for me. I thank God for that today. If I didn't have that hope, if I didn't have that assurance, I'd be seeking for it. I'd be seeking the Lord for that type of consolation and that type of salvation that would allow me to say, well, the day that I die will be better than the day that I was born. If you're here today and you're not saved, I hope that you will believe that, and I hope that you will seek for that. When I die, if I, you know, am among those that go the way of the grave before the Lord comes back, I can say this while I'm living. I won't be able to speak it after I'm gone, but I can say this while I'm living. When I go through that door of death, when the Lord has called me and I've answered that call, I don't want anybody weeping for me. If you want to weep among yourselves, if you want to weep for your own selves, that's fine. But I don't want anybody weeping for me. I don't want anybody saying, oh, poor Jerry, he got sick and died. No, everything will be well with me. I won't have a thing in the world to worry about. I won't have any troubles. I'll have left them all behind. And I'll be at home with the Lord. I know that because of his salvation that he gave me the night that he saved me. And if you're here today and you don't have that, that's what you need. You need to seek the Lord for salvation, that you can have hope in your death. While we stand and sing, I pray that God will help you today. I hope that he will use something that's been said today to prompt you to seek the Lord in behalf of your lost condition. I hope that God will use something that's been said today to comfort you in some way, that we might truly see what God says about the death of the righteous while we stand and sing.